So this morning, we are going to be taking a little look at waiting. The whole thing about waiting. Children hate to wait, and sometimes as adults, we don't like waiting either. Who likes waiting? Nobody likes waiting, do they? What is waiting? Waiting is like a period of time. It can be like a pause or an interval or a delay, but it's to stay in place in expectation of something. And as we know, when we think of Christmas time, kids hate to wait for Christmas, don't they? They get all excited, they're on pins and needles, and they're waiting in eager expectation of what Santa is going to bring them. And as adults, we are not very good at waiting either. And often, we go to great lengths to avoid the wait. I don't know about you, but sometimes if you're in a supermarket, you look for the shortest queue. If you're driving along on the road, you look for the least congested lane. And many of our daily tasks include a fair amount of waiting. We don't like waiting for our food at a restaurant. Who likes waiting for a website to upload? You find a slow website, it's like, come on, come on, come on. Nobody likes to wait for a queue, in a queue, in a shop. And now, with the advancements of technology, you could even skip the adverts to watch the next episode of your TV programme and save yourself like 5 or 6 minutes. It's amazing. Okay, so nobody likes to wait, because when we wait, we feel as if we're missing out on something. And when we wait, we feel as if we're missing out on real life. No one likes to wait, especially in today's fast-paced world, because we seem to measure everything on the basis of response time now, don't we? You know, a lot of things come really fast to us when we think of food and information especially. Things are so fast. This week I was driving along and one of the children was a bit hungry, so we saw a McDonald's and I thought, little treat, tide you over, we'd pull into McDonald's. And from the time of pulling off the motorway to when the first French fry hit the mouth was literally under 2 minutes. Isn't that amazing? So we pulled off the motorway, we ordered, we paid, we collected our food, the Happy Meal was opened, and they were consuming a hot meal under 2 minutes. Things are fast, and we don't like to wait. But as we know, waiting is all part of what it is to be human. And waiting is not passivity or inactivity. Waiting is not just killing time, and in God's eyes, waiting is never wasted time. When we think of the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, now there's a guy who had to wait. Right at the beginning of time, you know, God spoke. And when he was a young lad and a young man, God spoke to him through dreams and gave him, in a way, visions of what his future would look like. But, you know, Joseph's dreams kind of turned into a nightmare, didn't they? Because he had to wait for so long. And just as he was given dreams of his future role of leadership, he was plunged into the role of a slave to wait upon others. And Joseph was forced to wait. But while he waited, he got busy doing what was right. He developed a great work attitude and he developed patience. And when you think of Joseph, he sort of had promotion along the way because of during this period of waiting, he developed these great attributes. Now, his promotion to become sort of second in command to Pharaoh in the whole of leadership. You know, before that, he became a slave. He had to, you know, sort of endure the lies and betrayal of people around him. But what he did was when his dreams were put on hold, he sort of, you know, worked hard and sort of developed great things within him that would be for his future. And so when our dreams seem to be put on hold, get busy and help others with their dreams. Just like Joseph did here. He had to wait. He had dreams. He knew there were great things ahead for him. And he developed a great work ethic while he waited. And for some of us here today, you know, we may be waiting for all sorts of things. And so I would really want to encourage us today by just looking at a couple of things that will assist us and help us as we find ourselves in a season of waiting. Now, I'm sure there are those of us here today who may find yourselves waiting in all sorts of situations. You may be waiting to move house. You may be waiting for a job, to finish a course, a college course. You may be waiting for all sorts of things. And, you know, we may even be wrestling with God at this moment in time. Why is this taking so long? Why are you not answering my prayers? Why aren't you listening? And maybe we are waiting and waiting. And, you know, it's amazing, really, that when we are in these seasons of seeming inactivity, God really does work some great things in and through our lives and in our hearts. And it's sort of like being in a waiting room. In God's waiting room is like a bit of a classroom, because when we wait, we learn so much, not only about situations, but we also learn a lot about ourselves. So waiting can be painful, and the longer we wait, the more it becomes a test of character and even a test of faith. And so when we wait for something specific, we seem to pour all our energies and all our time and direct all our thinking into that thing we're waiting for. And we may feel sometimes like, you know, our life is on hold and the rest of our life is passing us by. And so this morning I'm going to look at three words to consider that help us in these seasons, which we all face from time to time. Okay, the first one is to look. Look. Look where, look to who, look to God. In Psalm 130, verse 5, it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. So when we find ourselves waiting, look to who, look where. The Bible is clear, it says, look to God. When we look to people, sometimes we can place our expectations upon them, and we can, in some circumstances, set ourselves up for disappointment. God is the only one who knows all things. And in Isaiah, it says this in chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that is a really famous and amazing passage of scripture that we can really glean strength and hope for in seasons of life where we find ourselves waiting. And this week I was up here doing a bit of reading, and when I came out of the building and into my car, I looked up to the sky, and it was a beautiful blue sky, and it was a lovely sunny day, and there was this huge eagle encircling the building, and it was just sort of going around and around the building, obviously looking for a rabbit or something that must have been hiding somewhere. And it just really spoke to me that, you know, God loves us so much, and that we can find our strength in him, particularly when we're in challenging seasons of our life. So God gives strength to those who depend on him. Looking to God for his strength, help and timing in things, renews our strength. His strength is our source of strength. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes you just can't do things on your own and in your own strength. And so we have to look to God and draw from God strength. We learn to lay things down and place things into God's hands and trust as we wait. And trusting helps us to be prepared so that when God does speak to us, we will then be patient when he asks us to wait and expect him to fulfill his promise. In Psalm 33, verses 20 to 22, it says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. So when we're in a season of waiting, continue to look to God, continue to draw strength from him, and place our life and trust in him. And the second one is to learn. Excuse me. Oh, it's warm, isn't it? Oh, right. So to learn. Be willing to learn. Who likes to learn new things? We all like to learn. Some of us maybe sometimes don't like to learn new things. But in Psalm 27, it talks about David. I'll just quickly read this out. And it says, I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. Wait for him. Now, this here is David speaking, and the land of the living basically means this present life. And so David here was obviously going through a trial. He went through many trials, and he was confident that in this present life, God would see him through. And David knew from experience what it meant to wait for God to move. He had been anointed king at the age of 16, and it wasn't until he was 30 he was crowned king. And as we know, as we have studied the life of David over these last couple of months as a church, we get to know the character and all the things that he went through. You know, he was chased by sort of jealous King Saul through the desert and lived like as a fugitive for almost 10 years before these sort of promises in his life came true. And so he had to wait for the fulfillment of the promise to reign. And so waiting for God is not easy. Often it can feel that he isn't answering our prayers or doesn't understand the urgency of our situations. But as we wait, it certainly teaches us patience and to surrender our control of our lives into God's hands. And we can choose to learn and grow in our present circumstances. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the Lord." So we can use waiting time profitably. So be willing to learn. Jeremiah, he was a man who knew from personal experience about God's faithfulness. God had promised future restoration after the sort of sin that the people went through. And God had promised this. And, Jeremiah knew that God would keep his promises. And we can learn so much from the people in Scripture who've gone before us that God keeps his promises. Trusting in God's faithfulness day by day makes us confident that we can be resting in the assurance, just like Julian spoke about last week, that we can rest in the assurance that our life is safe in God's hands. And we can cling to God's love in periods of waiting. And so just like this verse in Lamentation calls us to hope and to wait, because often God uses these times to refresh us, to renew us, and to teach us new things. And so make good use of waiting times by discovering what God may be trying to teach us in and through them. We think we are waiting on God or on somebody else for something to happen, when in truth God is perhaps waiting for us to learn a new character trait or a new truth or a particular lesson in life. Waiting can sometimes feel like a test, and tests measure us, don't they? When we do a test in the classroom, it's to measure how much we know about a subject. And when we are perhaps tested in life, it really does measure us. How much faith and confidence do we actually have in God? How well do we know God? How deep is our relationship with God to be able to trust him enough in these seasons of life? Are we selfish? Are we shallow? Are we patient or impatient? And tests kind of show us all of these things. Waiting exposes these things in our lives. And ultimately, I suppose, we learn obedience, don't we? We learn to obey God. Over my life, there have been so many things that I have just continually been on a journey of learning and trusting and ultimately becoming obedient to the things God would want for my life, and also the sort of future and direction to go. And when you're obedient, you have great peace, don't you? You know, when a child knows they've done something wrong, you know, there's that guilt all over them. There's that sort of little conviction, oh, I've done something wrong. But when they learn obedience, they live happier and more peaceful lives. And for me, I'm sure, and for all of us here, that as we learn to continually be obedient to the plans and purposes of God in our lives, we have greater, greater peace. God knows what's good for us, just as a parent knows what's good for a child. So let's be willing to do what God tells us, even when it's hard, when we are forced to wait. Don't stress, don't panic, and don't take matters into our own hands. Remain faithful each and every day to simply do what's in front of us. Waiting and patience are central themes, aren't they, in the Bible? They develop and stretch and teach and shape so many people, and it continues to do the same to us. Okay, and the last word for consideration is listen. Listen. Listen to God. Listen out for God. God speaks to our hearts through his Holy Spirit, just like last week as Julian was speaking, and at the end of the talk, we waited, and in faith and in expectation in our hearts, we waited for God to speak to us through his Spirit. And he did through that still, small voice. And sometimes we're not listening. So listen, listen, and be expectant. He speaks to us through the Bible, he speaks to us through people, and he speaks to us through circumstances. So keep close to God if waiting for something, and live for now, give your best, and don't wait till everything is perfect. And so to finish then, really, towards the end of Matthew, Jesus is teaching his disciples here about what was going to be happening to him, about the future events, about all the things he would have to go through. And he also talks about his return to them. And so we're just going to read this text. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids or virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then they all woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some oil. Give us some oil for our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and they were ready, went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And later the others came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." I love the parables because, you know, Jesus is going out of sort of, you know, techno into the practical, isn't he? And he always applies and speaks to people in a way that we can understand and grasp concepts of the spiritual things, and we can apply them into our lives. And so here he's telling the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Jesus tells these stories to help us understand the importance of being ready for his return and how to live while we are waiting. And so in life, we approach seasons of waiting for worldly things, but ultimately we are all waiting. The whole earth is waiting in eager anticipation for the return of Jesus to earth to take us, his bride, the church, to heaven. And so we're all waiting in a sense. Now this story is about a wedding. We had a lovely wedding here on Friday. And on the wedding day, the bridegroom went to the bride's house, slightly different in this culture, went to the bride's house for the ceremony. Then the bride and groom, along with the procession, returned to the groom's house, where a feast took place. And usually these feasts would last for about 10 days or a week. And these 10 bridesmaids were waiting to join the procession, and they hoped to take part in the wedding banquet. But when the groom didn't come at the expected time, 5 of them ran out of lamp oil, and by the time they had gone to buy more, it was too late to join the feast. And in some ways, we can look at scripture and think, well, if that was in today's context, maybe Jesus would say something like, well, there were 10 bridesmaids and they got in their cars and they weren't quite sure how far the church was. So they 5 filled up their tanks of petrol and 5 thought, oh, it'd be fine, it might only be up the road. And so 5 of them who filled their tanks get to the wedding, and the 5 didn't, and they ran out and they were lost and they missed the wedding. And Jesus is explaining to his disciples that while they wait for his return to prepare their hearts, and that's the same for us today, while we wait for Jesus to return, let's prepare our hearts. We are taught that as we wait for the bridegroom, that's Jesus, we, the church, his bride, are to take responsibility for our own spiritual condition. It can't be borrowed, it can't be bought, it can't be bought at the last minute. Oh, because my mum, my dad went to church, because my granny prayed for me. Our spiritual lives have to be our own, you know, responsibility. And so we are taught here that when he returns to take us to heaven, we must be ready. And the lamp in this story is like the state of our hearts. Jesus teaches about, you know, he teaches a lot, doesn't he? And all through Jesus' teachings, it's all about the condition of a man's heart, the conditions of our heart. It's not about the outward worldly possessions and worldly affairs. It's all about the heart. And he doesn't teach about the trappings of a good life, but in preparation for his return to have hearts that are ready to receive him. And so to fuel our hearts, which is what we're all about, isn't it? Learning, growing, getting close to God, developing all the attributes and attitudes and all that type of stuff. That is kind of like the fuel that we're putting into our hearts, the fuel in the lamp. And as we know, Jesus transforms people, doesn't he? He's transformed us. He's transformed me from the person I was before I met him. He's transformed my heart, which in effect has affected the whole of my life. My thinking, my attitude, my friendship circles, my choices, the decisions that we make. Jesus transforms people's hearts, enabling people to become in a right relationship with God that leads to eternal life with him. And in John 17, verse 3, it says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And so how do we get eternal life? Jesus tells us clearly here, by knowing God the Father himself through his Son. And it requires entering into a personal relationship, doesn't it? It doesn't require, you know, a tick list of all the things that we do that we think is good. But it requires entering into a personal relationship with God. And that is by believing that Jesus came and died for us, that we may have restoration here on earth in our lives and a future destiny in eternity with Jesus forever. Forgiveness for all the things that we say and do wrong. And when a person comes to that place in life where they say, "God, I believe in you. I believe, Jesus, you died for me. I'm sorry for all the things that I say, do, and think that is wrong. And I turn from it and follow you and say, here's the keys to my life. You get in the car and the driving seat and lead the way." And that is when we enter into a personal relationship with him and then have the promise of eternal life. And so that is really the message of Jesus, isn't it? That we are preparing our hearts ready in waiting for his return. And so while we wait in the practical nature and things of life, let's look to God, be willing to learn and listen. And ultimately, let's prepare our hearts and in our lives be able to have the confidence to tell other people too that he's coming back and that they need to, you know, find him for themselves. And that is why we do all we do. And so why don't we just pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you love us, you died for us, and that we have a relationship with you that is so precious, Lord. That is the most precious thing in our lives, is you. And Lord, I just thank you that you are with us in seasons of waiting. And while we wait for whatever it is, help us to trust you, God, because you are the only one who knows all things. Help us not to fret or worry, but to be at peace, Lord, knowing that we can be assured that our lives are in your hands. And Lord, for any person here today who is perhaps thinking about, well, what's all this church stuff about and who is Jesus? I pray now that you would just fill them with your peace and your love, and you would draw them to a relationship with you, that they would have their lives and hearts transformed for the better, Lord. So I thank you now that you are with us, and I pray as we wait on you, Holy Spirit, we would just be renewed like that eagle, that we would rise up and be strong, knowing that our strength comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen.